Amen. If you would, get your Bibles out tonight, and let's please turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to read the first two verses. Hebrews chapter 12, let's stand tonight. Hebrews chapter 12. Read a couple of verses here, and then we'll get started. Brother Jerry, I want you to pray for us tonight when I read these verses, and we'll get going. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes. Thank you. Yes. Amen. 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 Thank you. Yes. Amen. 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 All right. You can be seated tonight. Some of you already know this. Some of you don't. Brandon and Ben and I ran in a 5K race on Saturday in Memphis, Tennessee. We weren't running from somebody in Memphis, but we were running. I know what you may be thinking. They hold several races each year to raise support for the St. Jude Children's Hospital to fight childhood cancer. There were several races that took place. There was over 25,000 people that participated in these races. And I got to thinking about that I went through that and finished it, thank God. Many times in my life, I have taken something spiritual, physical, and made a spiritual application out of it and preached on it. Some sermons that I preached in the past, or one time I preached a message entitled Alabama versus Auburn. I did. And I had Alabama was the spirit and Auburn was the flesh, and it was the spirit against the flesh. But after this year, I might need to change that. I really did. I preached that. One time I preached a message on anchors. Jesus Christ is our anchor. And I talked about different kinds of anchors and how that relates to Jesus Christ. And one time I preached a message on trees. Where the fellow said, "I see men as trees," and how different trees represent different types of people. One time I preached on back to the basics. And that message was about something we learned in Weight Watchers. About losing weight applied to our spiritual life. One time I preached on the Super Bowl. Because everybody gets backslid and stays at home to watch the God-forsaken mess when they ought to have their behinds in church. It was a real glorious message. And one time I preached a message on fishing. How we're related physical fishing to spiritual fishing, trying to win souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, tonight I'm going to preach on running the race for God. Because we are running a race for God spiritually. Amen. We're not to quit till we go across that finish line. And the Bible tells us here in this passage that we are to run the race that is set before us. We are to get rid of anything that's slowing us down. We are to remember we have a heavenly and an earthly audience that's watching us run. And we are to keep looking forward toward Jesus Christ until we cross the finish line. So I'm going to give you several points about this race we ran and leading up to that and make a spiritual application out of it. And then you can go home and thank God that you didn't have to go down there and do it. Amen. Number one, something about it. We trained separately and we raced together. Now, I think Brandon and Ben ran together one or two times, but I never ran with them. I didn't run up and down the road training. But by the way, I went through some suffering when I was training. I'm not like them. I'm not a runner, okay? I hurt for 2 months solid. My knees hurt, my feet hurt, my back hurt, everything hurt. And I almost pumped out on y'all. But I thought, man, I ain't doing this. I ain't putting my body through this. But I decided, you know, you're their new pastor. They asked you to do it. You said you would do it. You need to keep your commitment. We need to do what we tell somebody we're going to do. Amen? But we trained separately. They did their running. I did my running and walking and getting sick and all that kind of stuff. And then we encouraged one another. We prayed for one another. We challenged one another. But we had to make our own mind up to do our own thing in the train to go run this race. Now, it hurt me. And like I said, there was some discouraging times, but they encouraged me. I had a lady that's back where I'm from, is married to my cousin, who is also a Baptist preacher, and she's a good runner, and she encouraged me many times, and I ran twice with her and during Thanksgiving when I went home, and she's actually was running circles around me and ran up to where we was going and come behind me and tried to push me to keep going. Amen. But what I want to say is this. You got to make your own mind up to run your race that God's put in your life. People can pray for you. I'll preach to you. I'll pray for you. I'll try to teach you the Bible. I'll do everything I can to encourage you. I'll do everything I can to exhort you. I'll do everything I can to cheer you on and try to get you to do it. But the bottom line is everybody in here has got a free will. And you're gonna have to make up your own mind. And it hasn't got to do with anybody else, what they run or what they do. You're going to have to make up your own mind to run your race for God. You're going to have to decide in your life here tonight that race for God is the most important thing in my life. There's nothing that supersedes that. There's nothing more important than that. That's what God put me down here on this earth to do, and that's what I ought to be doing. And you got to make up your mind that, you know what, I can get encouragement from friends, I can get help from friends, I can call them, they can instruct me, we can do all things. But none of that makes any difference in my life if I don't make my mind up to do right, sonny. If I don't make my mind up to say, they can't run it for me, I've got to run it. They can help me, they can encourage me, they can make it as easy on me as possible. That's what I'm trying to do as your pastor, but you've got to do it. You know what I'm supposed to do? I'm supposed to be prayed up and ready and full of the Spirit of God as much as possible so that when you get here, I got something to serve you, man. I got something to feed you. I got something to help you. But I can't make you come here. I'm supposed to pray for you and call you when you need it and encourage you and visit and just do what I can. But I can't make you read your Bible. I can preach on you reading your Bible, but you've got to do it. I can preach on you increasing your prayer life, but you've got to do it. You have to make your own mind up tonight that it's so important that God wants me to get in the race and run and do my best. That's what I ought to do for Him. So we train separately, but we race together. Number two, and this point is going to be very obvious. So we all finish with different times. Guess who come in first? You're right, it wasn't me. Ben came in, and then Brandon came in a few minutes behind his time, and then I was way behind their time. Hey, you know what we did? We did what that pastor said. We ran the race that was set before us. You know what it is? They're different ages than me. First of all, they're younger than I am. They've been running longer than me. They're more equipped for it. They're built better to run than me. I'm not built to run. I'm built more like to hit the ground and let somebody else take care of it. Gravity will take me down. But you know what? According to your age, we were, you finished in age groups. Like my age group was from 45 to 49. And so I competed and got my tally. And you know what? I finished about midfield in the field. I think there was about 120 people in my age group, and I was about 60 or so when I come in. So I don't think that's bad to be an old fat preacher. Do you, Sonny? Old crippled, up arthritic preacher. That means about half of them were better than me, half of them were worse. Amen. I'll take that. That wasn't too bad. That wasn't too bad. But it's according to your age and according to your different, we all have different abilities. We all have different opportunities. We all can train right. Listen, God will judge us by how we run our race. And we're not all the same. And the judgment seat of Christ is the finish line. The judgment seat of Christ is the finish line. And you may have looked at somebody and you look at Ben and you say, man, Ben can run circles around Brother Dennis. Yeah, he can. Now, that's true. Boy, Brandon can run faster backwards and Brother Dennis can forward. Yeah, that's true too. But in the spiritual realm, God's not looking at us all the same. In the spiritual realm, God knows how many abilities and what abilities He gave me and He gave you. He knows what talents He gave me and He gave you. He knows what opportunity, what light, what instruction, what I've been exposed to, what I haven't been exposed to, and we're all different. And what may look successful and look like a good run in God's eyes may be a pitiful run. And when I come in there like this, God may be up there in heaven saying, well done, man. Well done. Well, what you had to work with, that's pretty good. Really? You've got to make a spiritual application out of it. We're all not the same. But are we doing what we can do for Christ? When I was in Bible college in my dorm, I used to have a plaque up there. And it said, all we can do is all we can do. Are we doing all we can do? So you need to understand that as just like we all finish with different times, what determines the winner in God's eyes ain't who comes in first. Maybe God said, I set that fella up to come in first. It ain't who comes in second. God says, I set that fella up to come in second. I set you up to come in 30th. You come in 29th. Well done, good and faithful servant. I set you up to come in 3rd. You come in 4th. And I come in 4th out of 200. I don't care. I set you up to come in 3rd. You see how God looks at it? That's how you run the race. You run by what He's done for you and given you and how He's gifted you. So we all finish at different times. Number 3, we all had to train for the race. It took some discipline. Over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and there's, you might want to know this, there's several passages in the Bible talking about racing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 24, it says, know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. Every man that striveth for the mastery is tempered in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run not as uncertainty, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep, listen now, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You see that? He's talking, two words I want you to notice in that passage. The phrase, first of all, my body into subjection and temperate. It took some discipline. You know what? I don't know about Brandon and Ben. I figure it was for them some, but it was probably a lot worse on me. There were some days I thought, I don't want to run. Brandon and Ben, when I talk to them, they're natural runners. They talk about, man, I just enjoy it, and I look forward to running. And Brandon's talking about, man, I can't wait till I get off of work and run. And Ben said, man, I love to run. I'm going to get in front of my house and run till I puke. And he would. See, I ain't got that kind of drive in me. You see me out beside the road puking, I got a virus or something. I ain't cause I run myself. I don't have that kind of drive. But they all talk about, man, I just run, and I just love to run, and it's a fun. Let me tell you something, Brother Sonny. I don't like to run. It never got fun to me. I never enjoyed it. I never hit that euphoric thing where they say, yeah, man, after you get to about 4 miles, and just something takes over, and it's just like you're in the zone. Yeah, I never made it that far. Never made it that far. We had to train hard. It took some discipline. You know what it took? It took me doing some things that I didn't want to do. Now, I want you to understand something. When we train for the race, And I want you to notice in this passage, rather, the fear was when he's talking there that he would preach to others about running the race, and then he would drop out of the race. Did you read that in that passage? So here's the thing. We need to be training in doing what's right, because a fear that I have, and a legitimate fear, and you ought to have it too, brother, son, if God's called you to preach, and you listen to me now, is that I'd be up here preaching to you, telling you what to do, telling you how to run your race, and because I'm neglecting my training, I fall out of mine. You see that? I get so busy telling you, you need to do more, you need to eat better, and you need to run more, and you need to do some running, some sprints, and you need to do this, you need to do that. Okay, what about my training? I'm not taking care of my training, so I can't even finish the race. I don't want to get knocked out of the thing. And listen, there are some things we're going to have to do. We're going to have to put our flesh down to compete for God. We're going to have to put our flesh down to compete for God. There were times when I didn't want to do it. There were times when, listen, when I first, and you need to understand something about me. Just a few years ago, I couldn't hardly do anything because, well, I was a good bit heavier. I lost some weight, but I had severe gout in my knees. And it went on for several years. We didn't know what it was because supposedly gout gets in your toes, but I never had it in my toes. They couldn't identify. I would have to go to the doctor. I wound up one day going to the orthopedic surgery and Darby wheeling me in there on a wheelchair. We did not know what was the matter with me. It was gout in my knees. I got to where I looked forward to them sticking that big syringe in there and drawing that fluid out. I was like, man, sticking in there. And the doctor was sticking in there and gouging around. He said, that ain't hurting you? I said, no, not compared to gout, it ain't. By the way, I ain't had a gout flare up in 2 years. But he would draw that stuff out. But what happened was, there were some Sundays I couldn't even go to church and preach. I'm embarrassed to say this, it's the truth. This will really humble you too. I sat on the bed and my wife would dress me. There were many times I'd come in there and I'd have to preach sitting down. They'd have to help me up to the pulpit. I'm a man in my mid and younger 40s. And this is going on in my life. And finally they did some tests and they found out you've got gout. But the gout had went on so long and was so severe it messed my knees up, I had to have them scope my knee and clean my knee out that gout had seized it so bad. So there was a time I couldn't even hardly walk to the mailbox. So when I first started running, I didn't tell y'all all that. Because everybody was telling me, oh man, you're going to hurt. Everybody's just going to hurt. That's just part of it. No, it ain't part of it when you done had your knee scoped because gout got in there so bad it messed up everything. There were times I'd be on that road and I'd run and my feet and my legs were hurting me so bad I couldn't hardly stand it. Couldn't go half a mile. But you know what I decided? I told them I'm going to run with them. I told them that I'd do it. And I knew if I was going to do what I told them I was going to do, like we tell God, I knew that I had to get up and go run and hurt and suffer every step. I had to. Now, I ran that race yesterday, 3.1 miles. And I got up this morning, and my knees don't even hurt a bit. None. What is that? I just think God was just good to a fellow that was all boogered up in his knees for just not quitting. That's all I can tell you. Amen. I'll tell you something else. When we ran that race, We had to forget past runs, good or bad. Now, I never ran a 5K before, but all the runs I made, y'all had to forget the turkey trot. That didn't matter down there, did it? How good you did at the turkey trot. It didn't matter what you'd ran. Philippians 3:13-14 says, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We cannot let our success and we cannot let our failures keep us out of the race for God. Yesterday, victories ain't running the race today. And if you focus on the failures, listen, there was times when I would run and train. There was two or three times I almost quit. I'd go there and I'd make a run up that road there trying to train for that thing and I'd do halfway better. I'd improve my time a little bit. And a couple of days later, I'd run again and it would get worse. And Darby remembers I'd come in there and sit on that porch and say, on my deck out there, and I say, I don't know. I don't think I'm going to be able to do it. I'm not improving. I'm just not improving. I'm hurting. I shouldn't be hurting this bad. This is hurting. I'm not getting any better. But you know what I'd have to do? Because what I'd have to do is get up in the next couple of days and say, okay, If I have any chance of going on from here, I've got to forget that failure. I tried to run. I didn't do very good. It hurt me. I didn't make a good time. I've got to forget it. Today's a new day. Let's take off and see what happens. Maybe I won't have to call for Darby to come get me. Listen, you've got to forget the failures and you've got to forget the successes. You've got to forget past runs. You've got to do whatever the run is today. Today's the day to serve God. Today's the day to do what God wants you to do. You got to do it today. We had to run by the rules. We had to register for a certain time to run this thing. We had to line up at a certain time to run this thing. We had to attach numbers on our clothes to run this thing. You had to stay off the sidewalk, didn't you, Ben? Or a race official say, "Get off of there." Hey, man, he can tell you better. You have to run by the rules, man. You know what 1 Timothy 2:5 says? If a man also strive for mastery, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Psalm 119:32, the psalmist says, "I will run the way of the commandments." Listen, you've got to do it lawfully. You can't run for God by reading the Bible of your choice. Amen. How about that? You can't run for God by going to the church of your choice. You can't run for God by obeying the scriptures of your choice and just forget the ones you don't like. No. It's God's race. God put the race in motion and He set the rules to it. And if you don't obey the rules, I don't care when you cross the finish line, you're a cheater. If you don't run by the rules of the race, I don't care when you cross the finish line, God will say, cheater, your time don't count. Well, I just think we ought to do this. I mean, listen, man, you think God's ever been bound over the banister of heaven and going, wait, everybody be quiet. What'd you say, my son Dennis? Oh, that's your philosophy of it. That's the way you think about it. Thank you for straightening us out. God could care less what I think. He probably looks down there and say, you ain't even got enough sense. You couldn't even get back to Memphis, which that's probably a lot of sense of. Amen. God don't care what I think about something. He's not going to change His mind based on, we're going to say, well, the race ain't fair, and I believe the race ought to be this way, and I believe we ought to do it this way. God says, no. Did you read the passage? He said, I've got a particular certain race for you. Everybody's race is a different length. Everybody's race is a different course. Everybody's race has different levels of difficulty and goes through different things in life. But you run the race that God has set before you, and you run it like I tell you to, or when you cross the finish line, you don't win. You run it like I told you to run it, and you run it how and when. And my race ain't like Brother Mark's race. My race ain't like Brother Billy's race. All races are different. I run the one God put before me. You run the one God put before you. But run it! And if everybody's passing you and leaving you in the dust like some of them did me, don't worry about it. Just keep running. God didn't call me to be successful. He called me to be faithful. He called me to be faithful. When I'm faithful, in God's eyes, I am successful. I'll tell you something else about this race. We had to get around other runners who hindered us. That was one of the bad things. I didn't train for that. I've never been in a 5K. I'm not a runner. I didn't run in high school or nothing like that. I didn't realize that when we lined up to run, they were going to put us in there with thousands of people. I'm not talking about 50 or 60 or 100. I'm talking about thousands of us lined up to run. So when I train, this is how I train. I train. Now, what you got to do, Dennis, is when you get in this race, and since I thought I knew a little bit of something, even though I had never raced before in my life, I thought, when you get in this race, you can't worry about all them people passing you because they're going to pass you. Don't you let them pass you and you think you got to catch up with them because you'll never make it. You'll be out of gas. So when I'm training, I'm thinking, you just keep a good steady pace. Just keep going. Just keep you a good steady pace and you'll finish. Don't worry about it. But what I didn't train for and didn't realize that there were so many people that I was actually going to have to pass some of them. I couldn't believe it, brother. I could not believe it. My mind couldn't hardly handle it. When we got to the mile point, they were teenagers, skinny little bitty teenagers. Stop it. And I was trying to get around them. That's what my Ben and Brandon, they were very competitive. They were taking off trying to get around all these people, and they got Ben got scolded a little bit because there were so many slow people out there. I was thinking, man, good night. When you're holding me up, you're slow. You're real slow when you're holding me up. So what happened is, all of us could have did better times than we did, because I'd get to running and people would just stop running. About a mile into it, they just stop running and just start walking. And I'm like, you need to get in the right, you need to get in this lane over here for the slow people. If you ain't going to run. I still got some energy. I'm trying to run. So these people were in front of me, and some lady behind me stepped on my foot. Because I had people in front of me, and I almost hit the pavement, and I grabbed another fella. I guess it was a woman. I never even turned around and looked at her. I just heard, sorry. I said, I ain't got time for you, lady. I got to keep going. So I'm running, and I'm trying to get around these people. There's people everywhere. People just stop. And then I'm getting on down there to the third mile, and I'm trying to, you know, I'm slowing down some. I'm trying to keep going. Hey, just joker, just walking right in front of big. He's a big, tall, skinny fella. I'm like, look at me. Old 47-year-old fat preacher, and I need you to get out of my way. He's just walking. Now let me tell you something. Galatians 5:7 says, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Now do you know what happens sometimes? Just like we were in that race the other day, and we got to running. People got in our way and started slowing us down. People got in our way and started slowing us down. They obstructed us from doing the best that we could. They prevented us from, you see where I'm going with this? They prevented us from getting the better time that we could have got. They would not get out of the way. They slowed down and they didn't want to push themselves anymore. And they prevented us who were behind them from being able to push ourselves like we could. You understand that? In this race, you got to watch people. You better watch super negative people. You better watch murmuring people. You better watch complaining people. You better watch people that negative spirit. You better watch people that's always complaining and griping about something. Never satisfied about something. Always blowing up in front of everybody. You stay away from them. They'll hinder you in your walk for the Lord. You better find the people in this church, the men and the women in this church that are always upset about something, always blowing up about something, always complaining about something, and avoid them like the plague. They're bad news. You tell them I said it. Not only are they messed up, they'll booger up your run. You know what I mean, jelly bean? Everybody understand that, or I need to explain it some more? I thought you understood that. You stay away from folks like that. There's some people in here you couldn't please them with a pleasing stick. Always dissatisfied about something. Always complaining about something. Don't get in with that crowd. Walk away from it. Don't listen to it. Amen, 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 amen. If nobody else is enjoying this, I am. We'll just part there and I'll preach the rest on that point. I never would have believed it for the life of me, brother, that skinny, tall, teenage boys would stop me from running. It's the people you don't expect sometimes. They smile and act real nice and they got positions in the church and they just act all busy and all kinds. Yeah. And then they want to get you off to the side and have roast preacher for lunch. Always complaining and running their mouths about something. You better watch that crowd. Amen. Amen. That's right. That's exactly right. But we better get off that because we want to keep a cheerful attitude here tonight. We also ran that race in proper running attire. We had special shoes and clothes. Nobody was out there running that race in winter coats and coveralls. Nobody was running that race in steel-toed Red Wings. That's not proper running attire. You don't do that. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Sin and weights will drag you down and wear you out. You will not finish the race well. Now, there were some crazy folks out there, but they weren't too crazy. They were there to win. See, I was there to finish. They were there to win. Some of them, in that cold weather, they didn't have nothing but a little old pair of shorts on. They didn't have no billfold and no watch and nothing like that. They wore a little pair of shorts and didn't have a shirt on. Why? They didn't want nothing weighing them down. They were there to cruise, man. They were there to get with it. They didn't have any weights. You know, people that run, they don't have pockets to carry stuff in there. They're not carrying a bunch of stuff around. They're trying to move. Amen. You got to have the proper running attire. What does that mean? That means that I don't need a bunch of sin and a bunch of stuff that's not necessarily sin, but it's weighting me down and keeping me from running my race. Things in my life that take more affection and more love and more time and more money and more concentration than the things of God. You know what that is? That's a weight. That's a sin. And you're carrying that stuff around. That's one reason I actually could have done better in that race, because this is what when we first talked about racing, I told Brandon and Ben, I said, here's my plan. I'm going to lose 20 or 25 pounds. And so when I lose 20 or 25 pounds by this race time, I'm really going to move then, because I'll be that much lighter. You know, it's just harder when you carry this much around. Well, got to the race and I ain't lost 1 pound. Consequently, that affected my results. You say, how did it do that? Well, you try running 3.1 miles. Run 3.1 miles with an extra 40 or 50 pounds that you shouldn't have on you. Some of you have been in the army and run with them rucksacks and all. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Big old heavy helmet. You know why some of you can't run for God? You got too much junk in your life. There ain't no way you can read your Bible and pray and think about the things of God and be in church like you ought to be. You just got it cluttered with everything else. Some of you need to go home and reevaluate your schedule. If you're too busy for God, you're too busy. If you're too busy for God, you're too busy. Just a few more tonight. I'll tell you this, we ran by the strength of the Lord. I know God gives you the ability to train. He gives you the ability to run. He gives you the ability to compete. And when you run for God in this life, as you run for Him, you run by the strength of God or you'll drop out. Isaiah 41. Chapter 40, verse number 1. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We're going to faint if we don't wait for His strength and His help. We run with patience because the race is long and hard, folks. You will quit if you don't run in the strength of God. You will faint. You will pass out. You wonder why we have so many that fall out of the race? They're trying to do the thing in the flesh. Now, you can do some things in the flesh. Some of these monks go up in the mountains and shave their head bald, don't take a vow of silence and vow of poverty and whatever. And on the outside, they look like they're pretty clean, but their hearts just tore up with envy and jealousy and lust and God knows whatever else is in there. The reason some of you don't give a sustained effort for the Lord in the good times and the bad times and whatever is you're trying to whip this thing in the flesh. You're trying to say, I'm going to have willpower, I'm going to have discipline, I'm going to overtake this thing. Maybe in some areas your willpower and discipline will. I know lost people that's got pretty good willpower, pretty good discipline. But there are some areas you'll never, I don't care how tough you are or how hard you work or how bad you think you are, you'll never do nothing but go down based on your own power. You have to have the Spirit of God. You have to walk in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, and let the Spirit of God lead you and strengthen you and help you in doing these right things. You have to run the race in the strength of the Lord. Finally, I want to say this tonight. We all had to finish. Me and Brandon and Ben, we Now, don't get me wrong. I wanted to do the best I could, but I wanted to cross the finish line. I think Brandon and Ben were a little bit more competitive. They didn't have no doubts about them crossing the finish line. I had some doubts about me. They knew they could cross the finish line, but they wanted to do the best they could. And that's great. Now listen, during that race, some parts of it was easy. It was flat. Some of it was real easy. It was downhill. Some of it was very difficult. It was uphill. But you know what I kept thinking? I kept thinking, man, I just want to finish. I've trained. I've done the best I could. Now there's people blocking me, but there's a lot of people passing me. I just want to finish. And then we come around this place, right when we're getting ready to end this race. We come around this curb, and there's a straightaway. I don't know how far it is, but I see all the, it's leading up into this ball stadium. There's people everywhere, and it's the finish line. And it was at that point when I come around that corner there, because I never ran a 5K, and I didn't know how much longer I had to go. I didn't know. I said, there it is. And that was the first time during the race, Ben, that I thought, you're going to finish. You're going to run the whole thing. You're not going to stop and block somebody else. You're going to run the whole thing. You can finish this thing. And you know what I actually did? Now, I probably looked like a turtle compared to everybody else, but I actually somewhat, what in my ability, sprinted. Now, again, it's my ability. It encouraged me. And I saw all those other people that were ahead of me piling in that stadium. I said, man, that's men, that's women, that's people younger, people older than me. They finished. I can finish. And the adrenaline hit a little bit, and I just started and ran across the finish line. I finished. You better wait till this point's over. 2 Timothy 4, 6-8. Paul's testimony before he dies. He says, I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. And he says this. He said, I fought a good fight. He said, I finished my course. I kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but in all them also that love has appeared. Don't quit. Don't quit. I wonder if we have somebody here tonight that's about ready to quit. He said, man, it's hard and it's tough. And I battled this stuff. You have no idea that you may be fixing to get on the easy portion of your track. You may be starting, maybe the God's going to do something. You got a whole mile now of just downhill. But finish. You know what I want to do? I want to finish. That was a great thing for me yesterday. I never thought 2 or 3 years ago, with the debilitating problems I have with my knees, that I would ever be able to nonstop run 3 miles. But there's something much, much, much greater than that. One day, whether I die or the Lord comes back, I want him to come back or me to cross that finish line. He say, you know what? I laid out your race. And there were some tough times in it, some easy times in it, some hurdles, some potholes. Some times when you did slow down and walk, you were the ones hindering people behind you. You didn't always run good. But Dennis, you didn't quit. When it got hard, you didn't chuck in the towel. You may not have looked that great in other people's eyes. You may have looked like an idiot running. But you hung in there. You sucked it up. And because you love me, you finished. You told these two fellas you'd do it. And you did it. Now, if I put myself through all that just to keep my word to these two, what should I put myself through to make sure I finish for my Lord and Savior.
Amen.
You need to finish your race. And if you finish your race, you'll make the Savior happy. Don't quit. Keep running for God. Sooner than you even know, He's coming back, or we're going to Him. And if you have to slow down where you just at a snail's pace, just keep moving forward. And all that'll matter won't be the race officials, won't be the times recorded by others, won't be what they put you on the news or put you up there on the stand and put a necklace around your neck, all that kind of stuff. There'll be one person, Brother Leonard. King of Kings, the Lord of Lords.
Amen.
And I want him to look at me one day and say, you know what? This is what I gave you. This is what I expected out of you, but what I gave you. You finished. Well done. But Lord, I didn't do near what they did. They crossed the line way before me. Don't matter. I didn't grade you on a pistol start. I started your time when you start across the starting line. And I ended your time when you crossed the finish line. I know what you could do. I know what you were capable of. And I'm satisfied. Lord, I didn't do one-tenth of that preacher. That's all right. I blessed him 20 times more than I did you. But you really did better. You better think about all this stuff, because one day, listen, one day it's all going to end for us at the judgment seat of Christ. Run your race for God tonight, church. Amen? Every head bowed and eye closed.